stormy display for the shoots tonight to follow up after the lesson this morning, and they said they weren't used to seeing this sort of thing out in California, so we wanted them to see this before they left Texas. But we're so thankful for the Lord's blessings that perhaps a storm went around us, and some of you drove through it, but it was just rain, and we appreciate that you're able to be with us tonight. And it's a stormy season in Texas, but we trust in the Lord. We're thankful that we've been helped as much as we are. Brother Partain, I know Wayne Partain, and when I try to say Parvin, it pops up Partain sometimes. But Brother Parvin said in his prayer twice this morning, tonight, that we wanted to glorify God. And certainly he's looked over my lesson, because that's what I'd like for us to do tonight, to give God the glory. We recognize we have to be obedient. That's something that we have to do. One of the works that we have to do, the works of Abraham, to be obedient in our faith. The Bible tells us we have to love one another. We have to support the Lord's work, both locally and wherever else we possibly can. Whereas a Christian, we're supposed to be morally pure. We're not to stain ourselves with the sins of the world. And we must repent of our sins. We must preach the gospel of Christ. But not forsaking these, the purpose of all we do is to glorify God. I think Brother Nichols has brought that home to me more since he's been here and during the teaching of his class. You have the fact that we've been told that regardless of whatever else we do, our intent is to glorify God. Our purpose of being here tonight is to be obedient, because we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but at the same time we want to glorify God by our faith and by our lives. We have examples in the Bible of those who did. Of course, Moses, one of the outstanding ones that glorified God by his faithful obedience and the plagues of Egypt and all that, and bringing them out of Egyptian bondage. And he was tried so many times in patience, finally failed in one instance and was not permitted into the promised land. But his life glorified God. He trusted in God. He had talked with God, and he wanted to glorify him. Also, David was a man who wanted to glorify God. And of course, as we read the Psalms, we know that that's true. As he glorified God in many of the Psalms, I'd like to turn with you to 1 Chronicles and to look at something that David said that would help us understand his desire to glorify God. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning with verse 10. And again, I know that some of you beat me there with your electronic devices, and that's okay, but we have to move according to the speed of this book. So beginning in verse 10, turn one more page. In verse 10, therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you're exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer willingness as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth as a shadow and without hope." So David trusted in God and gave him the glory that he needed. And then, of course, at the birth of Jesus Christ, the angels appeared giving glory to God in the highest and the goodwill to men on earth. And so you see that those great men of the past, as well as the angels in heaven, have glorified God. I don't think of myself as glorifying God, but there are certainly ways that we can and should as we acknowledge our trust in God. And so we're looking at that tonight from the standpoint of the examples of people glorifying God and how we can, because this is truly something that we can do. We've looked at these, and now then we want to look at ourselves in some ways. Why should we glorify God? Because He is God. When you said that, you said all there is. He speaks of himself as he told Moses to go down to Israel that he was the I Am. You come to the book of Revelation, he is the Alpha, the Omega, and he's the first and the last. He was and is and who is to come. And this is just God. And because he is God and there are no other gods before him, then he is our creator. And in Genesis 1, as he created the heavens and the earth, we recognize the glory that he exhibited. And I was sitting in the backyard, and the grass is green, the flowers are blooming, the trees, and I thought, he designed every leaf. He designed every blade of grass. He designed the birds. And you just think of the wondrous things that God has done. And the creation cries out to God to glorify him. In Acts 17, he is said by Paul in Athens to be the creator and the judge of all men. So he is God. He gave us life. The very life that we have. I've said a lot of things about abortion. I won't get off into that too much tonight. But to think of God giving us life and then some cruel person ending that life. I read recently about one of the abortionist who said that she laughed every time she did an abortion. And she looked at it as just simply goo in the womb. And how far from the truth is that? How self-delusion can people be? But in Psalms 139, beginning of verse 13, David said, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame is not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the Lord's parts of the earth." And so David recognized beyond what they knew as science in those days, that God was responsible for life. And I recognize that that's so, and he's responsible for the providence that keeps us living today. And we recognize the great debt of gratitude toward God for just being what he is. In studying ancient history, we run across a lot of the so-called gods, the idols such as Baal and Ashtaroth and various ones of the Old Testament. And they were all cruel. They were mean-spirited. They were vengeful. And I'm so thankful we don't serve a God with that kind of a attitude. We serve God who is merciful and graceful and loving. And he gave his own Son for us that we might have life. John 3:16, as they say, is the core of the Bible. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that those who believe in him might have life and have it everlasting." And you have those things to recognize, as well as knowing that God hears our prayers. I really do not know of a congregation this small that has as much illness as we do. It's a tremendous amount of people that we love that are ill, and some critically so. But we pray constantly. And we recognize that in our prayers we say God's will be done. But at the same time we pray for good things to happen to those who are sick, because we know that God hears and answers prayers. And that's why I put in the bulletin each week James 5:16. And in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul reminds us that all spiritual blessings are found in Christ Jesus, which means they're not any found outside of Jesus. We have all the spiritual blessings that belong to us, and we're so thankful that in addition to the physical blessings of life, that we are certainly blessed in the spirit to the nth degree and have the eternal life in us. And so we glorify God because we're commanded to. This is our purpose of being a Christian. And we hear this so much in various places. 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And so when we ask prayers at a meal, we're glorifying God for the food, recognizing that God is the giver of these things. And if you'll turn with me to the book of Ephesians, we'll look at chapter 1. notice some other things that we're commanded to do, and it's our pleasure to do. Beginning in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things, according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him also you trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. And so again, by our existence as Christians and doing the things that we're supposed to do, then we honor and praise Almighty God. Turn with me now to Isaiah chapter 43, and we see some more things from the Scriptures that give us a good idea of the reason we praise God. Beginning in verse 5 of Isaiah 43, "Fear not, I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, who I have created for my glory." And so that's just Isaiah talking, giving God's word that he's going to collect. Now, that might have had a fulfillment in the return out of captivity, but it also has to do with the time when Jesus calls us on home. He's going to call Christians from all parts of the world and be able to give us our eternal home of the soul. And therefore, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord, because we exist. And I have a reasoning capacity to recognize God, and our purpose again is being a Christian. How can we glorify God? Well, again, whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, speaks of the oracles of God and how we are to, if we're to preach, we preach the oracles of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, if I was in a black church, I'd say, "Church, say amen." That's what they do. But certainly we say amen to that this is something that is we're so blessed with, and we understand that. Then in Hebrews 13, beginning of verse 15, have another passage that enlightens us somewhat. Beginning of verse 15, Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So as we're being here tonight in our worship, we glorify God. And that's something that we want to do. We glorify God by our words, particularly in speaking of the gospel, by our speech. And we're not to let any profane speech come out of our mouth, by prayers. And we certainly can recognize that the model prayer that Jesus gave tells us how we ought to pray. And it begins, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And so, hallowed or blessed or glorified be your name. And of course, in our singing, as we sing with the understanding and we sing with a knowledge of what we're doing, as Colossians says, sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. And if I understand correctly, the Bible is saying that the worship that we have here goes up before God's throne as an incense pleasing to God. And I want to be a part of that. There'll be a day when, Lord willing, we all go to heaven. We'll be able to do that around the throne of God. But right now it goes up to heaven as an incense before the throne of God. And so we glorify God by our deeds. That is, there are things that you do as a child of God that people in the world do not do. And we do those things in the body. And we're warned that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are to honor God in the way that we use our body. All my life, I've heard that scripture used as against smoking and things of that nature, because you pollute your body. And that's certainly true with drugs and alcohol and things of that nature, fornication. But here we have an ability to praise God by the fact that we honor the body that He made. In our worship, we often talk about worshiping God in spirit and in truth, and that's John 4:24. And we don't offer unto Him vain worship as they did in the days of Christ. And this is how we glorify God. So by being here tonight, you've decided to honor and to glorify God. Then by fruit, Jesus said, if you bear much fruit, you're going to be my disciple. And by bearing that fruit, we're honoring God. The book of Galatians chapter 5 tells us what it is to bear fruit. And all those various things that we do in loving God and having the characteristics that God wants us to have, we bear fruit by making our life the way God wants it to be and by our purity. See, as a Christian, you can offer to God something that's very rare. You can offer to God something the world cannot offer. And that is, as not only have you lived spiritually, but you live physically to glorify your body. And by your purity of life, by your purity of action, you glorify God, because you recognize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And as a temple of the Holy Spirit, you don't want to pollute it or make it do anything wrong. And that causes me to want to live better and suffering for Christ. There are times when Jesus said that He was suffering and we're not any better than the Master. We sometimes must suffer too. But if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. So by wearing the name Christian, then we glorify God. I'm so thankful that through the providence of God, my godly mother, and hearing the gospel through my early years, I came to wear the name of Christian. I've never been ashamed of it. I will never be ashamed of it. And the thought that I can be called after Christ is certainly an honor and something that we rejoice in. So to God be the glory. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's what we're doing here today. The lesson is somewhat short, but it certainly has a theme that we need to remember, and that is to glorify God in all that we do. So when you go home and you find yourself ready to go to bed and you pray to God, you're going to be glorifying God. When you get up in the morning, you give thanks for the new day and you glorify God. And those are just things that we can do as children of God every day to bring God into our lives. But more than bring Him into our lives, we bring Him in and give Him glory. And I would like for you to think of me, and I would like to think of you as people who are aware that we're doing the things that we do to honor and glorify God. And we can do that till the day we die. If you need to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight, we invite you to come that we might assist you in prayer and help you be back close to God once again. We offer that invitation as we stand together and sing. Will you come?